All right, brethren, this is going to be part two of the sermon already in progress.
The days of status quo Christianity, mediocrity, lackadaisical complacency are behind us, my friends. It's over. How bad is the scene going to get when the collapse arrives? Chapter 2, verse 21. The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Brethren, there's going to be chaos on the streets of America. And some places are going to be worse than others. But here is the sad truth, folks. Eventually, there will be a body count. And as the divine judgment unfolds, the sword will eventually arrive. The sword judgment, attackers, war, violence, fallen comrades. Will it be from without? Will there be invaders that come into this country? Many of you have seen these things in visions. Or will it be from within? Will it be from tyrants? Brethren, I've seen visions of the police state. And I believe that eventually, after the fall of America, these days are going to be here. The Stasi army is going to be patrolling the streets. Canada, America, Mexico. And in addition to that, there is going to be chaos. There's going to be anarchy. Armed thugs. Remember Katrina? Do you remember the stories of the criminals who gave no regard to people's possessions? And they went around in mayhem and mistreated their neighbors? How bad is it going to be? Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, brethren. Some people will not be able to deal with it. That they will choose suicide, or actually do a suicide by cop, or hope for death rather than to try to survive the mayhem and the starvation. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. And they that are slain with the sword are better than they which are slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. And this is one reason that I stress over and over, my friends. Please, folks, do what you need to do to prepare and save extra food. And start now. When the dollar collapse arrives, it may be fast. At first, it may be slow. But when they finally decide to change it over, it could be very fast. One day, you'll go to bed normal. And the next day, there's going to be chaos in the streets. Now, to the doubter that may be listening and say, that would never happen to America or Canada or my country here in Europe or any other place. That's just too horrible. That would never happen. I ask you this question, my friends. Why do you think that it could never happen? Why? What concrete affirmation do you have to say such things? Are you saying because the government would not let it happen? Or we're too big to fail? Is that what you think? Well, did you know that many others throughout history have had the same attitude? Including this diary of the fall of Jerusalem. They even had that attitude. Look at verse 12 in chapter 4. Go there, brethren. I want to show you the attitude that they had. Chapter 4, verse 12. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will never fall. Or America will never fall. We'll be around forever. Really? Did you know that most of history's empires have lasted a little over 200 years and that's it? And how old is America, my friends? And what will signal the end of her glory? Now, as I'm giving this warning, I want to be clear and I also want it to be on record. I am not saying that America will cease to exist. But what I am saying, at this point, her glory is behind her. And our children are going to see a very different America in their future indeed. Now look at this, folks. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 2. And tell me that this is not happening already. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. What's the inheritance of America? Resources, land, national forests. What about private inheritance, in the stock market, in real estate? Strangers from overseas are grabbing up American companies right now. This is happening, folks. There's a fire sale happening right now. And indeed, that fire sale is going to be stoked with more objects to sell. Skyscrapers, buildings, shopping malls, commercial properties. They're going bankrupt right now. And overseas enemies from China are going to buy these things up. Look at verse 2 again. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. And look at the next part, folks. Our houses are given to aliens. Aliens from other countries. People that don't live here. And this is already happening. People from other countries are coming to America and buying up all the real estate. And I don't have to convince most of you of this, but much more of it is coming. Much more dislocations and foreclosures and lost homes are coming. This is just the beginning. And folks, let me throw this in. I have a question for you. Is your car paid off? Is it? I've been screaming this for over a year. Pay off your car. Why? Because when you lose your house, you're going to need your car to get places. Or, God forbid, you might end up living in your car. And you don't want your car being repossessed. That's a side note, brethren. But I believe it's a word of wisdom. Pay off your car or buy a cheaper car that's already paid off. But get rid of that car payment. Because in the days ahead, it may become very hard to continue servicing your car payment. Now, what are all the invaders and the strangers and the aliens going to buy up? What are they going to take over? Here's the answer. Everything. Look at verse 4. We drink our water for money. Water costs money. Of course, that's already begun. But consider those of you with wells. Are we going to have to pay for that as well? I've heard that there's plans for that coming, for tax revenue. How soon till that happens? The rest of verse 4. Our wood is sold to us. Now, many people pay for wood now, but this is showing that all of our possessions are gone. People that had their own property that could go out and chop down a tree for their own wood are going to lose their properties. That's what that means. And it also means that resources that we take for granted will be taken away. Loss of freedom's coming, brethren. No food. Tyranny. The sword. Now, things are going to become so expensive that many people are just going to work just to get enough money for food. Look at verse 5. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and we have no rest. So they were slaves. And in the future, how many third world Americans will only have time to work for a small pittance to get food? How many, folks? How many third world Americans will there be struggling to get enough food to feed themselves and having no energy for anything else? Always working for slave wages. Always tired. Verse 5. We labor and we have no rest. When people go looking for food, will there be roadblocks? Will there be checkpoints? Will there be tyrant soldiers and secret police patrolling, not allowing people to freely move about, throwing curfews all over everyone? Look at verse 9. We got our bread with the peril, which means at the risk of our lives. Just being outside, trying to get food, but worried about being caught. What would cause that? What sort of tyranny would cause rules to be so strict that you can't even go out to look for food? By the way, regarding this, not being able to freely move about, go back to chapter 4. I want to show you something because it also speaks of this. Chapter 4, verse 18. Look what it says. They hunt our steps. Or the New King James Version says, they track our steps so that we cannot go into the streets. Folks, this is police state right here. And this sounds like the Nazi neighbor tattletale squads are going to be out there. And let's finish reading verse 18. For our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. Our end has come. And with that, brethren, I'm going to stop this study of Lamentations, but I invite you to read it yourself. Read the entire book. The Holy Spirit said, great lament is coming to the land. Tell the people. Tell them that sadness, wailing, sorrow, and heartbreak is coming. So what are we supposed to do? When God said this to me, brethren, I was heartbroken myself. I was travailing myself. And of course, nowhere near what Jeremiah felt. But as I was praying, I said, God, is there no hope? What are we to do? How can any man stand in your judgment? How can we, God? And folks, God Almighty, the Lord of the universe, He answered my question. Does the judgment mean no hope? No. God said, go to chapter 3 in Lamentations, and I want to show you some things. So folks, please go there. because I'm going to show you some good news and some hope. I'm not going to leave you hanging with just horror and sadness. Lamentations 3, verse 31. Please go there, brethren. Don't be left with no hope. I want you to see these verses here. Lamentations 3, 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Even though God causes the judgment and all of this sorrow, he still has compassion and he has mercies. Verse 33. For he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. My friends, he loves you. Now some people may hear this message and say, man, no fair, God. God sounds mean here. And folks, God does not want you to be chastised. He gave us his law. He gave us his statutes. We're the ones that have failed. He does not afflict us willingly. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to send grief. We're the ones that sin, folks. Move up to verse 39 in chapter 3. Wherefore does a living man complain? Does a man complain for the punishment of his sins? Should we complain about this, folks? It's the sins that we've committed. Do we have the right to complain about it? About God's chastisement? Look at verse 40. Verse 40, folks. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Verse 41. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. My friends, God wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to realize that He's merciful. How many of you have ever heard the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? It's a great hymn. It's also a worship song. Steadfast love. Some of the key words for that song are found in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. God is faithful. His mercies are there waiting for us, always. But it's up to us to let Him become our shelter. It's up to us to discover who He is. I asked God, what do we do? These things are fearful. They're scary. What do we do? And God said, I am. I am. Yes, God, You are the great I Am. God said, I am Your portion. I am the great I Am that Moses met. And folks, most people do not know God at this level, but the remnant needs to climb their mountain and meet God there. The remnant is not a title. The remnant is not a proclamation that we say with our voices or confess to our friends. The remnant is not knowledge. The remnant is a lifestyle. The remnant is seeking and discovering and finding and meeting Him who is our portion. And knowing that He is our portion. The portion of what? The portion of manna from heaven. The portion of peace. The portion of joy. His portion of abounding in hope. His portion of resting during a storm. During the coming storm. During the crash that is approaching. God is our portion. And we must, as remnant, be anchored in Him. Standing on Him, the rock of our salvation. Standing on Him, the rock of our deliverance. Standing on Him, our shelter, our rest, our peace. Because during calamity, my friends, during the plague, and during devastation, and during hunger, we must discover that He is our portion. My friends, you must discover that He is your portion. And that is not accomplished by just listening to my words. That is not accomplished by just listening to this audio. This is accomplished on your knees, my friends. For a while. Not just 5 minutes. Not just 10 minutes. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, couldn't you pray with me just 1 hour? My friends, do you spend time with Him? And if you do not, you will not discover your portion. Period. Great calamity is approaching. Destruction. starvation. It is upon us. It's upon this entire world, my friends. Europe, you're not in the clear. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, you're included in what's coming. And even though Lamentations is indeed sad, God included hope there. His love and His mercy is available today. It's available tomorrow. And every morning that the sun rises, and as long as you have breath, His mercy is available for you. My friend, please do not be caught unaware. Please do not be caught unprepared. Please discover God as your portion. Show your family that He's their portion. Show your children that He's their portion. Psalms 91 is coming, brethren, and we're either going to live it or we're not. But right now is where we need to be discovering it. Heavenly Father, a hard message indeed. But God, may Your Spirit touch every person listening. Show them that You are the great I Am and that You are the portion that can touch them and reach down with the hand of mercy and pull them up to their feet to look up to You in confidence and to be able to stand on You, the rock of their deliverance. God, teach all of us the remnant. Teach all of us, God, that in You is life and in You is deliverance. Through You, God, we will weather these things. God, let us have the faith to know that it is You that will deliver us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Great is Thy faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have beneath Thy hand hath provided.
Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord.
Great is Thy faithfulness.